Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Sergio Magana. He is the author of The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. In his remarkable book, Sergio explores the history and wisdom of the ancient Toltec tradition. Closed to outsiders until now, this rich spiritual tradition is over 5,000 years old and was a touchstone for the Aztecs. Sergio is a practitioner and teacher of a spiritual lineage that began 5,000 years ago in Mesoamerica with the Chimichimi Meccas and was passed on to the Aztecs, the last great culture. This knowledge is still preserved today by the Nahu-speaking communities and is now experiencing a worldwide rebirth, transcending the borders of Mexico. In his main interest is for people to learn how to search for answers they need inside of them through the different dream states. He also opens the prospect to astrology, numerology, and energy systems of the Mexican tradition, which can be applied to reach our total well-being. For more information, you can visit his website, which is www.sergiomagana.com, and that's Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, and M-A-G-A-N-A.com. And again, today's guest is Sergio Sergio Magana. Welcome, Sergio.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for the invitation. Such a pleasure to be with you and your audience. And nice Spanish, Magana. You said it right at the last one.
My God, and, you know, and I practiced that. But anyway, that's just it. So I said it once at the top, and then I called you Sergio after that. So I was pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
that's
with that.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, anyway, I'm really looking forward to today's talk because it's a wonderful topic, and I just haven't talked much about it. The name of your book is The Toltec Secret: Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. Now, I want to start. You start in your book by noting that you published a book in 2011. First in Italian, and then it came out the following year in English and Spanish, and it was titled 2012 through 2021, which we are at right now, The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. And then you say that it was greeted with skepticism and disbelief because it identified dates and cycles different from widely discussed Mayan calendar topics. So since this is kind of predates, what we're talking about right now, and it's just interesting that, the title of your book, culminates in this year. So can you tell us, when you said that it was met with skepticism, because it was different, tell us about that. What was different about what you were conveying, the information you were conveying from what was general talk?
Yeah, in that time, everyone was in the spiritual world, kind of obsessed with the official published by many authors, from José Argüelles and many others, Mayan end of the cycle of the world. That was the alignment of December 21st of 2012. So some years before, one of my teachers, because I used to have a radio show, found me through the radio show to actually spread the word of his lineage that came of Toltec and Aztec keepers of the tradition that there was a lineage of more of 1,000 years to give me certain different information. So actually what he said is that the final part of the shift was going to be in from 2012 to 2021. So it differed from 9 years to the common established. And also, not because the other one was wrong, but what he explained to me in that time is that there were like these meetings of the wise men of the different groups in Mexico before the conquest, in which they adjusted the calendar. So, and actually we have a very beautiful temple in a sacred site named Xochicalco that shows like the meeting, and they look really different, some like Mayan, some like Olmecs, of the different groups that were in what was named Mesoamerica. And they were adjusting the calendar. So that probably what happened, because the Mayan flowering was much before than the Toltec and the Aztec one, is that they didn't adjust to the last dates, and that's why it differed. But like everyone, it was many people was skeptical, but around the world. But in Italy, it was a huge bestseller, so everyone went with that. But in other countries, it was sold, but not like we expected. And then, like I was working in dreams, I said it's so weird because I saw clearly how that in a dream how that book was going to be a success, and then I understood because when everything happened accurate, they asked me to do a second version. That is the one that came out this year, and is the one that is getting really really successful. The Real Perfect Prophecies from 2012, 2021, and 2026.
Wow. Now, from what I understand, the date, the December 21st, 2012, was the culmination of the kind of like the peak energy between the fifth sun and sixth sun. Is that correct? Is that?
Yes. First of all, I think we should explain what are suns. Suns,
right,
are like the long count, that is a cycle, and that I want to say that it's a universal cycle because it wasn't seen only by Mayans and Toltecs. It was seen also by Egyptians, and they named it precession of equinoxes by the Western astrology, and they split it into the 12 astrological signs. And it's the base of the Pisces era, Aquarius era, and it's the same number. The Mayans split it in five, and the Toltecs, because they said that the four was the main number in the universe, and that's why all the measures of time, for example, a day was split in four main moments: dawn, midday, sunset, midnight, four phases of the moon, or two solstices and equinoxes, in order to complete a cycle. So the long cycle was split in four, and that gave you 6,625 years periods that are named suns, and between all of them there are 29 years of transition. That actually what started in 1991 and is finishing in May 26th of next year. Of this year, sorry, I'm still in 2020 in my mind. No,
me too, me too. I know, I do that all the time now. But yeah, it's crazy that it's this year. So, right now we're, as in the title of the book, or subtitle, we're moving into the sixth sun. So, what are the... Now, you see, one of the things I think for people to remember is, you know, we're talking about over long periods of time. So, we recognize that in this particular lifetime, we're really not going to be, we're going to be experiencing such a teeny tiny fraction, you know, of this particular movement. But I think what we can take, you know, to value is what are some of the characteristics of the sixth sun, you know, time period. What are some of those? So I'm thinking that, you know, these are the characteristics that we would be witnessing.
Yes, of course. Metaphorically, by the ancient Toltecs and Aztecs, the suns were representing also like the measure of a day. So metaphorically. So, for example, one sun could be like 6,600 years, like representing from the dawn to midday. Others from midday to sunset. Others from sunset to midnight. And from there, you get the main characteristics. The previous one, because it came from a little bit before the sunset, then the sunset and the start of the night, like it starts with light. That was very important for the ancient Mexicans. The difference between you being in the daytime awake or being during the night sleeping. That would be like conscious or unconscious mind. And normally the perception of the collective is following the cycles. So when we're awake, we have normally like our eyes opened, so we are seeing everything outside. If we don't have a mirror or something to reflect, we never see ourselves. So that gives characteristics, for example, to look for solutions in gods or religions that are outside of you, like we have seen in the previous thousands of years. Also medicine, we're still seeing it, because many people, like the solution to the current situation of the world is just hoping about a vaccine. That would be very, that I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying it's a characteristic of the fifth sun, waiting for things outside of you to solve satisfaction, also in having things or in people loving you. Also, they are very good for war because people conquer other races and that. But like this one enters in the midnight, so in the ancient times, at least before electricity, we were supposed to be sleeping. So when we are sleeping,
right,
we have to close the eyes. And the perception goes inside, so there is not outside. And if there is not outside, first you must see your thoughts, your psyche, where your mind is trapped in repetitive patterns, in things that you are addicted to suffering, in fear of change, ancestral patterns that you are repeating, heavy emotions. So it's a time to analyze your inner self. And after that, to see all that responsibility that we had in the previous sun, that of a god or someone outside solving all the or deciding for us, has to come inside again. So the responsibility of creating our life, and in a very concrete way, because it is said that the main force, because we're entering in a sun of midnight, is the night. The night is considered to be a feminine force, but it's not exactly the night by itself. It would be the famous darkness of the Bible from which light comes, the blue from the Tibetans, that is an indigo blue. So here in the Toltec tradition, it was named Ilipalnemowa, the great energy mother and father. And it was clearly accepted that it was outside of us, but also inside. Where inside? Like in the gap between our thoughts, where you can plant something new that is very related to meditation or to be able to stop your mind. In the first cycle of dreaming, that is Delta, the deep sleep where our body repairs, but that we have a program of our ancestors, what is able to do our body and what not. If you're able to enter with consciousness there to that darkness, because it's dreams without dreams, then you will be able to operate that program, making your body more resistant and healing yourself. And also, it's very in the Toltec tradition, it was said that we have like in the place of our dreams or unconscious, a place where there is like new soil to plant new things, to plant different dreams and to dream differently in order to live a different life. And those are like the characteristics of the new sun, also a coming back of the feminine forces, and to befriend them in order to not only to survive, to live it with grace.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, so this period then is the midnight, the kind of the beginning of that midnight phase is what we're, the
yes.
sixth month. Okay. So
yeah.
Now I love the, you know, the idea, the fact, you know, the dreaming aspect of, you know, kind of that phase, the being able to, you know, really kind of create, you know, when you're in that state, you can create anything. I mean, your dreams can be a reflection of anything that you really want, but actually they're a reflection of you. So, I mean, it's a one-way kind of, you know, your dreams are basically showing you who you are, and but on the one side that, you know, there is that ability to, you know, create in a positive way things, you know, planting seeds. But also, I think in the book you talk about that humanity would be facing its underworlds. You know, so is that also kind of a part of the phase that, you know, that that subconscious stuff is from a humanity standpoint, is coming to the surface?
Yeah. Actually, the 29 years of transition between the suns, we are finishing them now. And the first 20 years were for an external change. Everything outside was going to change, and there would be certain glimpses of the change of consciousness. We saw it in the previous years, mainly after China invaded Tibet and Buddhism came to the Western mind, and there were glimpses of the New Age and yoga and things arriving. But the main change was technological in the first 20 years from 1991, that we saw everything speeding up from mails and all these kind of things. But then the last nine, that's why I love that I wrote about this 11 years ago, so no one can say that I was making it up now, because it's already written.
See, that's the best part.
Yeah, no, not everyone would say, how convenient, now he's using the pandemic to get...
That's it, you know, so... But, anyway, I guess it's that, you know, your time has come, or just like the time has come, you know, for it to unfold.
Yeah, and actually it was the time of the prophecy. 11 years ago, I didn't know if it was going to be really fulfilled, the one of the central counts of Mexico, or if it was going to be something similar to what happened in 2012, that nothing really spectacular happened. It was already the consciousness popping out and that. But the underworlds are considered to be, by very orthodox researchers, only the places that you go after dying. But that's not all. If dreams are so similar to dying, so we go in dreams. And dreams create this reality, so we are very frequent flyers of the underworlds in this reality. That they just represent repetitive destructive patterns, addiction to suffering, ancestral patterns that we are carrying. But what was really special about that prophecy, it was the eighth underworld that corresponded from March exactly, because the Aztec and Toltec calendar, they switch year the 12th of March. And actually it was almost exact that we entered in the underworld of the complete darkness. And
Sorry. 1 second. I have to stop. Can you tell me again about that 12th of March? That's my birthday. The 12th of March. And it comes up a lot. What's happening on the 12th of March?
The year shifts. The Aztec calendar
year
is when, for example, the 2020 in the Aztec calendar, that it wasn't named 2020, could be counted from the 12th of March of 2020 to the 12th of March of 2021. We're still in it, on it, according to that count. The year is
okay,
not,
wow.
Not doesn't start the 1st of January. It shifts
right,
in March.
Yeah, wow. I
and
had
actually
no idea.
The underworld,
okay, well, I'm sorry.
almost no one knows. But it gives such an exact date because it was when almost all the pandemic thing started in the world. Not in China, but it spread in the rest of the world. And it describes like the underworld of complete darkness, in which if you are in complete darkness, you don't know the path. And people will be forced to stop or to keep walking, having many, many problems. And then when this happened, it was the way to stop us. And also what was predicted was that all the imbalance that in the past thousands of years was created to the feminine forces was going to start showing into the society, starting with the air. That was going to give a lack of abundance, infections, and for some people, aging and dying. And when I saw what I wrote and my notes, and I said exactly what I... It didn't say a specific virus or nothing, but in a metaphorical way, it was describing for what was happening in that year for almost all the people. And we're shifting
right.
in March of 2021 to the ninth underworld.
Okay, so on March 12th, we're switching to the ninth underworld. What is?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's okay. So you said on the 12th we're switching to the ninth underworld. So, what is characteristic of that? Now, one of the things that I wanted to ask, and I don't know if it fits into here, but I want to ask it right now and see if it does, is that you indicated in that transition time that we should not be deceived by illusion or fall into the trap of fear and collective suffering. So you had mentioned suffering. So is that a part of the ninth underworld? I mean, is that part of what we're moving into
yeah.
or what we're experiencing?
Actually, because the ninth underworld is described like the one of complete peace. That is the main characteristic, complete peace. But there are two ways to get into that peace. One is to solve all the previous underworlds. So to start using your dreams in order to create the reality that is one, minimize your repetitive destructive patterns. First, address them. And in areas of your life that you are addicted to suffering, that you constantly create problems to yourself. That some people is addicted in all the areas, health, financial issues, relationships, and some people only in certain ones and really to make any method because that you know in order to try to solve it or to minimize that. Also something that is the fear of change. Because many
yeah.
of the things that we saw in the past 9 years, it was people trying to get the countries in Greece, in Britain, in the U.S. to what they were, to glorious times in the past, but they are not coming back. If they can be glorious times, but new ones, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a tragedy. But and the laziness and the lack of discipline to change yourself. Also to see what the ancestors left to us to be solved. Because according to this tradition, what wasn't solved by your ancestors, then it goes to the one that has more capacity to solve it in the living ones. And the solution of that issue would be the solution of both. So now we are solving problems of 5,000 years ago, like of 6,000 years ago, like a terrible relationship with the earth. Because with the patriarchal religions, everything was asked to God and to the heavens. And actually, food doesn't come from the heavens. Doesn't come from, okay, the sun collaborates with the plants. But it's mostly given by the earth. That's a first force, because it's also the moon with your dream that a lot of people don't give importance to them. And
right.
If we see in all the languages of the world, it is said, the girl of my dreams,
yep.
The work of my dreams, my worst nightmare, uh-huh. Meaning that we dreamt it before, and then it happened. And modern psychology only accepts like that you have to process what you have lived. And that's also true. If I'm a fisher and I keep fishing and fishing, eventually what I do when I am awake will be dreamt.
Show up.
But first, you dream to be the fisher. So it's to give that importance and to really do very concrete things to awaken your dreams, to change your reality. And it's a personal solution. And that would be to get into the complete peace. And one of the elements that is in darkness of the previous underworlds are our dreams for most of the people. So if you solve the entire puzzle, or at least minimize it, you will have an amazing time. Probably being trapped in lockdowns and with the things outside. It doesn't make the most auspicious time, but you can create your personal destiny in these times, like it's happening. But the people that keep waiting from the outside, it's getting worse and worse, because many things, politics and new strands of viruses and everything. So that the peace will be forced. You will be locked down, you will be losing freedom and many things. And then that takes to a peace that is not, is the one that that we use in the language, is also that rest in peace. That eventually will take you to die by something, or by sadness or whatever. So, but it's a personal decision.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sergio, I want to take a quick break. And I do want to invite listeners, if you want to call in and ask Sergio any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide, books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our home page. Our website, biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my special guest is Sergio Magana, and we are talking about his new book, The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. And again, you can find out more by visiting Sergio's website, which is sergiomagana.com, and that's sergiomagana.com. And you also know, for those of you who use Facebook, Sergio has a great page on Facebook. Just type in, do the search, Sergio Magana, and you'll see him there with noted as an author. So with that, we're back, Sergio.
Yes, we are here.
Great, thank you. So one of the things that I liked about your book is that you offer exercises that people can use to implement some of the Toltec secrets, dreaming practices. One of them that stood out, I want to kind of highlight one, and one that stood out for me, since I pay attention to a lot to dreaming, was the one, and it jumped out. It's called Sowing a Dream for the Sixth Son. So would you mind sharing with the listeners, just obviously, I mean, this is a little bit of a detailed kind of exercise, but would you mind sharing with the listeners what that's about?
Yes, of course. And the complete body of knowledge of dreaming has many different exercises that I described many in the book. Why dreaming? Because, like we said, it's a period of the night, so it's to recognize the power of dreams. And there is a practice that the ancient Mexicans, the Toltecs, Aztecs, Teotihuacans used to do before falling asleep. Nowadays, science called that time. Of course, in the ancient times, there weren't these definitions, like hypnagogic. That is the moment previous, like to fall asleep. That probably you are normally people is in their bed and thinking about things or watching TV. And if you see the word like that, science uses hypnagogic. You are through a hypnosis. So it's one of the best times of the day to have like a free therapy done by yourself. And if we're seeing the news and tragedies and that, you're getting the hypnosis of that probably certain issues that you're seeing will touch your life. So I strongly recommend that if you would like to see news or tragedies or something like that, do it before, not in the moment, just before sleeping. And this is an exercise, for example, that you do sitting in your bed where you are going to sleep. And it's a set of five different types of breathings. The first one is looking to go to your left profile. That is to destroy an issue. So, for example, we can destroy the bad relationship with the earth that could create infections and lack of abundance. And it's just with intent. You don't have to imagine anything. You go to the left profile, and you may be breathing from 9 times or 13. 13 is the number of the sun, that is greatest destiny, 9 of the unconsciousness. So it would be like, My command is to destroy any problem with the earth that may create infections and that. I go to the left profile and I just breathe with my nose and breathe out with the mouth 9 times. Then I will look to my right profile, and that would be to destroy the dreams that could have created a bad relationship with the earth, that could have created infections and lack of abundance. And I also breathe, like with my nose, and breathe out with the mouth 9 or 13 times. If you do 9, all the cycles are in 9. If you do 13, everything is in 13. Then the third cycle set of breathings is looking up, like if you were looking to the heaven, and to destroy or to transform any cosmic energy that could be creating those problems that creates infections or lack of abundance. That includes, for the people that know astrology, retrogrades, the return of Saturn, and many others. And it's just like looking up to breathe with the nose and breathe out, like with the mouth, 9 times or 13. Then the fourth one will be to look to your legs, to your lap, and just imagining that you have there a mirror or a bowl of water in which you could reflect yourself. The purpose for the ancient ones, our reflection represents what we have lived in the earth. Every line in our face would be every wrinkle or line represents what you have walked in the earth. So it would be to destroy or to disappear your reflection. So we breathe 9 times, everything is with the eyes closed, and then you visualize that the reflection of your face, how you remember yourself, disappears. And instead of that, for this new sun, you can visualize that you transform yourself. That is in imagination. You're not transforming, but the brain doesn't identify what is real or not, into a black panther.
Right.
The black panther represents the night. And if you see the eyes that are, that should be the two eyes, but without iris, that represent the moon, like a full moon. So it's a matter of seeing your reflection, imagining you like you are reflecting like a black panther that represents the night, and then with the white eyes without an iris. Then you should look to the front without opening the eyes, and you will visualize that the reflection of that panther with white eyes is in your navel. And then you are going to breathe, make a crunch, enough, and then breathe out 12 times. And in the 8 times, and in the 9th, you breathe in, and then when you breathe out, it's like visualizing the energy going out from your navel in the shape of that black panther with white eyes that represent the night and the moon. And then it's just to imagine that in this moment you can lie down if you are going to fall asleep. And then you will be just visualizing that black panther with white eyes walking to your right while you say to your body, to your brain, take me to dream with the panther. Take me to heal my abundance, to be protected to infections. Take me to dream with the panther. Take me to heal my relationship with the earth and to have enough abundance to be protected of infections, viruses, new strands, whatever you would like to program. And you should be repeating that until you fall asleep. You will cross through 4 states. One, you will start feeling heavier. Then you will feel like stiff, a little bit in the hands, in the legs, because your brain is entering in what is named dream paralysis, the mechanism that our brain activates so that we don't act our dreams. Then your temperature while you're repeating will start dropping down, like 2 degrees or something. That's why we normally dream sleep covered. And finally, when your conscious mind is making the transition to the unconscious mind of the dream, is when you start forgetting. For example, you are like, take me to dream with whom? And when you start forgetting what you were repeating, is that you are falling asleep. And that's
okay.
a clue moment to make more effort to remain. Because if you say, okay, no, Black Panther, and you keep on, those are very powerful hypnosis that the most powerful because are so close to the unconscious mind in which you are doing the inception of that archetype in order to get the result. So that would work amazingly for the things that we are still dealing with in this time.
Wow. You know, that, and thank you for sharing that because I thought that it was, you know, I like to practice, you know, in the evening, you know, just before that dream state, you know, recognizing that, you know, it's a very important, you know, it's very important. I mean, I followed dreams, my dreams for years, written them down for years. And so, you know, I really pay attention to that. Now, I have, you know, not heard this particular, you know, type of exercise before, but I'm, you know, definitely looking forward to trying it. I mean, you know, to doing it. The one thing that stuck out to me, it was like there was through much of the process, you're destroying the negative pattern or the the negativity, you know, all the way down to its core cosmic, you know, origin. So it's to me, it seemed that it was very the importance of destroying the source, you know, kind of comes out in this particular. I mean, that's one thing I've never noticed before. Is the idea of destroying it again to the core. Now, with the Black Panther, is there any particular reason for the Black Panther? I mean, I think it's an easy thing
because
for people to visualize. But
it represents the night. And
okay,
like we are
night,
entering,
okay.
And the night, like the force
right.
that we said, the gap between your thoughts, the delta state of deep sleep that we all have in the first hours when we fall asleep, that are like you are sleeping but without dreams. That is when your body repairs, and when your body grows, for example, hair, nails, and that. So by having that panther is how the Mayans and the Toltecs found that you could enter that, like with an idea to that period,
right.
That to heal yourself. And then the other is the moon, that for the ancient ones here was the one that gave you fortune or misfortune. So you are telling like the moon, because it was obvious in the cosmos, the moon is waxing and waning. So it was like
right.
a sign of fortune or of winning everything or losing it. So it's like asking the moon to bring you, that the moon actually are your dreams and your unconscious also, to bring you to the fortune. So it's just using an archetype.
Well, okay. That's fascinating. We have, 10 minutes, and there's, I want to kind of close with the idea of, what the Toltec prophecies kind of tell us for 2021. But before that, just to throw another component of the ancient traditions, that there are four types of fire, and that our immune system works with one of these, young fire. So, since everyone's, in this year of COVID, is looking at, immunity. And so can you tell us a little bit about, fire, just like you did with the sun, and in particular, young fire, how that helps with the immune system?
Yeah, of course. In the old tradition, there were all the elements and many things, like we said, the day in the four main moments of the day, the moons with the different phases, they are split in four. So also the fires, and that are out. Everything that what is important is to remark that everything is outside us and inside us. So for the ancient tradition, so we have not exactly a fire inside us, but we have this heat of this energy that could be represented by the different fires. So the first one is the young fire. And normally now, if you see like these fires that, for example, last year were in Australia, burning all the woods and that, or happening in California or in any place in the world.
Right.
When that is happening and it's expanding, we know that is the young fire, the one that is there, because love's expansion and to grow and that. For example, in the human realm, if we are full of the young fire, it will develop. It may develop a cancer or something like that, in which things grow without a control. And our immune system for now is working with that fire. That fire is also the one that makes war, that fights. And normally we have we know that our immune system fights against cancer cells, against viruses, bacteria. But there are other ones. For example, there is like the feminine fire, that it was said it was like the fire used to cook by women in the past in these groups with love, that the fire that warmed home. And that is the fire of tenderness also, or of a good love in a constructive relationship. So if we add that fire to the immune system, that actually the concrete name in the ancient language of Toltecs and Aztecs for the feminine fire is Xantico, like a shant. So I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but it will be like Xantico. And in the way that you can empower your immune system is just, because the feminine side is our left side, is just to call that fire to come. Of course, you're not going to see flames in your hand and nothing. It's the mind before matter. But if you just call, being thankful at that for Shantiko, the feminine fire, like saying come, 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 you will feel an energy that is coming to your left arm or to your left hand. Then if you close the hand and you take that left hand to your thymus that rules the immune system, and you command that also with the masculine fire that is needed and young, but to use the feminine fire that transforms everything in hum. That makes the earth become your hum. And if the earth is your hum, then the earth will protect you, and nothing that lives in your hum will attack you. So that's the concept. And it's very similar to dreams, in which it says that all the dream is your mind. Not in out-of-the-body experiences, but in dreaming, it's our mind creating it. And if we raise the vibration of that mind to make hum everything, so then viruses and bacteria and that will respect you, and also you will get the best things from humans. That's a second fire. Then there is a third one that is called the wise fire. That is very famous because in many traditions, one god or the cyclops or someone very special gave fire to humankind. That is knowledge. So that's a masculine fire. If you want to call it, it will be with the right hand, but just asking the young fire to come. And then come, being really thankful on that. And then put also the hand in the thymus. And then your immune system will have the wisdom to sail. And why do you need the wisdom? Because, if a virus has mutations, new strands, and all these things, will have the wisdom to adapt to them. So these are very easy exercises that may change your life. And recognizing, because then when my teachers were showing me this, they say, for example, if you are in a dinner where everyone fights, that means that when you cooked, the fire that came was the young fire, the one that expands, and then people begins like discussing and that. And if it's a very pleasant one, it's because the feminine fire came. And we can control that even in cooking. Just call the one that you would like to come to where you cook, and that one will be the one, and then you can even impregnate with the different fires the food.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just, there's just so much that to learn from this. We're down toward the end of the show, so I want to, before we close, can you maybe tell us because this, the 2021 was obviously a marker, for this particular shift. Can you tell us how we can use the Toltec prophecies or the particular energy to make this year, 2021, the best that we can?
Of course. There are many ways. For example, the two ones that I have just explained, by calling the fires and that, it will be easier in the immune system. But for example, even the feminine fire in the same place to help your relationships. Because now, a lot of people, because of the lockdowns and that, is having troubles relating with others. So the fire of tenderness could help also in relationships. And from May 26th, with a moon eclipse that is happening and is the official entrance of the sun, a second feminine force is coming into action that will be the moon. The moon, apart from ruling the dreams that I gave the other exercise about dreaming, rules fortune or misfortune, gives you everything or takes from you everything. So what you can do is like calling the feminine fire with your left hand, call the moon. And begin calling, for example, the different phases. So, for example, if you are in between new moon to waxing, that are like 6 or 7 days, then call the energy of new moon. So if you want new things to develop in your life, take that energy in the hand to your forehead in order to, like, plant a dream with new things. For example, when it's full moon, there is a you can call it exactly the same, the energy in the 7 days of full moon between full and waning. And to your left hand, and for example, the navel is the part of abundance. So to increase with the energy of the moon your abundance. Also, if one organ is not working and that has failures, to put the hand in the area of that organ. Or in the 7 days of the waning moon, call the waning moon to your hand. And for example, if you have gastritis, or you can put it in the stomach, asking the waning moon to wane and minimize that. Or to grow certain things, for example, the waxing moon in the 7 days, call it to your left hand and put it in your throat. That will increase your power, your self-confidence, or into the forehead, that is the area of good emotions, to go back, like what we named in the tradition paradise, and the place of water. So you may be using all these forces in order to help the transition better.
Wow. Well, excellent. You know, and we're well empowered with what you gave us during the show to do those. So I really want to thank you for your time, Sergio. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I've liked your page on Facebook, so I want to continue to follow you and follow your journey. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
No, thank you to you. Such a pleasure. I wish they look like very simple practices, and they are simple to perform, but they are so powerful. I hope that many lives of your audience change. And thank you, Robert, for taking the time also to spread the word.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Sergio Magaña. Sergio Magaña. And you can visit his website, which is www.sergiomagana.com, SergioMagana.com. And definitely check him out there. And again, if you use the platform Facebook, check out his Facebook page. A lot of really good information. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at byteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.